Hear the word of God.
Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when Joseph had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Zechariah had the benefit of a conversation with the angel Gabriel. Joseph had to settle for a dream. Joseph was a righteous man and unwilling to humiliate his betrothed. According to Matthew, Joseph decided to dismiss Mary quietly to avoid the public disgrace. One can easily imagine the whispers, the shaming, the finger-pointing, the shunning, a biblical version of a social media firestorm. What's more difficult to picture is what Mary's life would have been like as a young, vulnerable, pregnant woman becoming a nobody or less in the blink of an eye. What would it have been like for Mary to be dismissed quietly? Through the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph in a dream, God has other plans. For Joseph, for Mary, his fiancée, and for the child she's carrying in her womb, Mary is not to be dismissed quietly. And compared to the other angel appearances, the do not be afraid line in Joseph's dream has a different take. When the angel Gabriel tells Zechariah and then Mary not to be afraid, the takeaway is not to be afraid of the ethereal angelic presence. But here, the angel tells Joseph to not be afraid to get married. "Go ahead and marry Mary," the angel says. The pregnancy is a God thing. Mary's going to give birth to a son, and you, Joseph, are to name him Jesus. And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. For Joseph, the angel dream is not an annunciation. It's a command. God's command to Joseph. You know that Joseph has no lines in the Christmas pageant when it comes to the Gospels page. He doesn't get into a conversation with the angel like Zechariah or Mary. He doesn't get to sing like Mary's Magnificat. Joseph doesn't speak anywhere in Luke or in Matthew. But notice Matthew's literary move here as the nativity story comes to an end. Matthew gives Joseph the last word. It doesn't come as dialogue with quotation marks on the page. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Joseph's first and last word comes in the naming of Jesus. Joseph named him Jesus. "You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Call him Jesus. He will save. Mary bore a son. Joseph named him Jesus. It's more than Joseph getting to say something. It's Joseph's obedience. His obedience, his faith statement. It's Joseph's move from participant observer to preacher, proclaimer, evangelist. Joseph named him Savior. In his silence, Joseph becomes the proclaimer, as the Joseph portrayed by Philip in the video showed obedience by getting up and immediately packing a bag. Here in Matthew, Joseph's obedience comes in the naming. Joseph did more than speak. He named him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. You and I, we are participants in a pageant that unfolds around us year after year after year. We are participant observers in a pageant of everyday life that mushes the secular and the sacred all together. And as here on life's stage, we try to discern what the faithful and right way to live is in a complex, swirling world. Our roles have us moving often unaware from the mundane to the sacred. We seek to respond to the call of the Christ child with the obedience and the discipleship of our lives. And most of us, I imagine, like Joseph, prefer the silence of a non-speaking part. As the congregation gathered around the font this morning for Kai's baptism, a few lines were spoken. What is the Christian name of your child? It was another naming. The sacrament of baptism that drips with our obedience to Christ. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And time again, this congregation stands at the font surrounding a child, surrounding the one baptized, where a few splashes of the mundane become holy. It's not just a naming. It's a faith statement. All of us promising to tell this child the good news of the gospel, to help them to know all that Christ commands, and by our fellowship to strengthen their family ties with the household of God. That's a sacred task. A promise fulfilled less with words and a whole lot more with the obedience of our lives in the everyday pageant. Joseph's response to God's command and ours. You are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Name the child Jesus. He is God with us, and he will save. Frederick Buechner offers a reflection on Emmanuel and the promise of God with us. He offers an invitation to ponder the power of the here and now of God with us. God with us in the here and now. To look at the last great self-portraits of Rembrandt, or to read Pascal, or to hear Bach's B minor mass, is to know beyond the need for further evidence that God is anywhere, that if God is anywhere, God is with them. Buechner writes. But God is also with the man behind the meat counter in the grocery store, the woman who scrubs floors at the hospital, and the high school math teacher who explains fractions to the bewildered student. And the step from God with them to Emmanuel, God with us, may not be as great as it seems. What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive after a year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes, Buechner concludes. What keeps the wild hope of Christmas alive, year after year in a world notorious for dashing all hopes, is the haunting dream that the child who was born that day may yet be born even in us. The wild hope of Christmas, Joseph's dream and ours. That by God's grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we might bear the light of the Christ child in the world's shadows with the obedience of our discipleship. For the light of the Christ child forever shines like a bright morning star, a light that darkness shall never overcome, a light that pierces through the night with the promise of God's steadfast love, steadfast faithfulness, offering peace and goodwill when both are noticeably absent. A light that flickers with the everlasting hope of God's wisdom breaking into a world that prefers foolishness and folly. A light that shines ever brighter with the assurance that God would dare to become somehow like us, come all the way down to us to make holy the sinfulness of our flesh, the light of the Christ child for us and for our salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. He named him Jesus. Our wild hope for the world at Christmas meets God's wild promise. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel commanded him. He named him Jesus. Thanks be to God.